Reading John's Gospel last night, after the Holy Thursday Mass of the Lord's Supper, and found myself asking a question that's been asked many times of me in different situations, and I've asked myself, why was this necessary? If you read Jesus' words in beginning at John 13 and going on through John 17, Jesus, he's giving his teaching. He says, there's so much more that I could tell you, but you can't bear it now. And you wonder, why was it necessary that he should die such a terrible death? They thought he was a liar, that he had claimed to be the Son of God, which was blasphemy. In a way, one can understand why they were upset if they didn't believe him. But to put him to such a terrible death seems gratuitous and unnecessary. They wanted to see him suffer. They wanted to drag it out as long as possible. They wanted to make an example of him, not the Romans, but the religious authorities, the ones he had tried to correct and whom had no use for anything but their own way and their own will. Why was it necessary that Jesus go through that? It's a question that we answer, that we ask all our lives. Why do we go through things? And it's very relevant. In many ways, when we look at the Passion, I think we see the trial of God. God on trial. Jesus taken for a common criminal by all, yet was God, Son in the flesh, hidden in a kind of disguise of humanity, yet very real. He allowed himself to be unknown, except by those with faith, with that gift. He made it very clear. He said, I am not of this world, not of this creation, in Hebrews. Letter to the Hebrews says, though not of this creation, yet he created it and came into it and was rejected. It's an interesting question. When I was younger, I went to a charismatic, large charismatic gathering. I was in the novitiate with the Benedictines. The year was 1979. And the novice master had taken two of us down there to this thing in Anaheim. I've gone to it a number of times since then. Last time I went, I was with that same monk. He just happened to be there, and we sat next to each other. But there was an unknown speaker there. I'd never heard of this person. Nobody else had either. The speaker was Mother Angelica, and she hadn't done anything yet. She just had, at that time, she was coming out 3 times a year to speak, and this was one of those 3 times. He had a little pamphlet ministry that they were printing off at those days. So anyway, she was telling her testimony. It was one of the best talks I ever heard, actually. I've still got a copy of it. But she said, you know, when I was entering the novitiate, she said, it was very hard getting in, and I really suffered trying to get in and making it all work. I was in Canton, Ohio, and she found that she had leg problems and couldn't kneel. And so the nuns came to her after she had simple profession and said, you know, we don't think this is going to work out. You may have to leave. You can't kneel. And you have to kneel in order to do this life. And she thought that was very unfair of God, that he'd misled her into thinking that she could do something that turned out she didn't have all the qualifications. Why didn't you tell me earlier? How could you do this to me? Why can't you just heal my knees? Why do I have to leave? Why have you rejected me? She said she was so mad at God, she had a mandatory holy hour, so she'd go into the Blessed Sacrament Chapel, and she'd sit there like this and wouldn't say a word to him. She said, she was so mad at God, I wouldn't speak to him for 3 days. So, you ever felt like that? My God, I'm going to pray. I'm sure I'm not going to talk to you. How could you do that? I've done this a few times. And so finally she said to God, she said, why me? And the Lord said to her in so many words, yes, Angelica, and why me? Why me? And that story stuck with me for 35 years now, and I found I go back to it when I ask God, why me? And this is a question as a priest I get all the time, especially when somebody's on a deathbed or some kind of awful thing has occurred that is really unfair. In a way, we all have things that we do that require some sort of reparation, I guess, but so many times we really don't think life is fair, and sometimes it isn't. There's 100 signs of God's love around us today. Beautiful day today. You know how rare it can be in April to have a beautiful day. I see God's love out the window. The sun's not blinding me tonight. There's 100 things that God did for me, but there's that one thing that he won't answer or hasn't done. Somebody that died, a prayer that wasn't answered, a financial reversal. I have not succeeded in my goal for Lent. That's minor. My marriage isn't working out. My children are having troubles. I'm not making it in school. I can't find my career. I have problems, and God doesn't seem to answer, and it's not fair, and I ask, why me? And sometimes it's as if God is on trial again. He comes into his creation, and he's not understood. And he puts up with that because he can't fully answer the question, why me? That's not a question of this creation. Jesus gave us an answer, and his answer is the cross. But it's not a complete answer. Jesus, who took the greatest suffering possible in the ancient world, those who put him on the cross, not the Romans, who, after all, Jesus was set up, they wanted Jesus to know that they were the boss. They were in charge. So you thought you were God. We'll show you who God is. We'll show you who's the power here. You insulted us. We're not only going to put you to death, we're going to make you miserable. And you know that was true because they went by, not in this gospel, but one of the other three, and they spat on him as they went by. These are the high priest, the religious leaders. They wanted to make sure he knew exactly who it was that had killed him, that incited the crowds, not to delve just for a death, but a merciless death. And Jesus doesn't fully answer why it was necessary to suffer so much. He says, Father, if this cup cannot pass me by, your will be done. How often do we think that some piece of suffering is actually the cup that God has asked me to drink? This is a hard theology for any of us to accept. God, I'll take your explanation later, but I can't believe God actually has preferred this for me. Jesus, for his part, he promises us an answer to everything. And the answer now is the cross. When people ask, why me? When I ask it, it comes down to the question, to the answer, Jesus suffered also. If he did this for me, I can put up with this for him. That's a kind of an answer. Your suffering has as much value as mine did, says Jesus. No more, but no less. I suffered, and I did it because I love you, and it was necessary. Your suffering is necessary too. You won't understand till later. But what he does tell us, he says, this is the way I want you to live. I will give you the instructions you need now. I'm not going to give you every answer. I will give you what you need. Don't do to others what was done to me. Don't be merciless. Don't treat people the way I was treated. He talks about how to treat our neighbor and therefore how we love God. He was unloved at the end, but taught us to love. This was impossible to understand for many that were there at the time, impossible for us. We still ask the question, why me? And Christ gives us the same answer, my cross. I won't answer every question, but I will give you a sign of my love. This will get you through it until all explanations, when we're out of this creation and into the one that lasts forever. Jesus, who came from another place, yet that other place is our home too. He opened the doors, like the doors to the church that we entered when we opened this church. He invites us in, and he says, I want you to come home with me, but before you do, you must go through something with me and for me. You don't know what it's going to be. I will give you 99 signs of my love, but there'll be that one thing or those two things that you don't understand. That will be the proof of your love when it comes. We've all been through that with people that we love, and sometimes we have to go through it with God. So we thank the Lord for giving us many signs of his love. At times he seems to disappear. At times he doesn't answer. At times we don't understand. But he's given us the final sign of his love, and that's the cross. And with that, we can go on and conquer, and we can persevere.